Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
Welcome to Reyna Retirement. Reyna Reyes has dedicated her career to helping people make smarter financial decisions. Reyna Retirement is all about breaking down complex financial concepts into language you can actually understand. Now, here's the co-founder of American Federal Benefits Consultants, Reyna Reyes.
Reyna here, and happy day to you. And we all wanted to get old enough for something in our life, right? You're 16, you can drive. Yay, I'm 18, I don't smoke anyway, but you could. And at age 21, I can drink. What happens after that? Well, in retirement for a FERS employee, you've got your minimum retirement age to look forward to. Well, what other thresholds are there? There's MRA. What does that even mean? Minimum retirement age, I just told you. And then also age 62, that's another threshold of what your pension can increase that percentage of value for each year of service, assuming you also have more than 20 years of service. Significant age milestones. What's another age milestone we care about? 65. What happens at age 65? Medicare. I need you to call Reyna for your Medicare needs. I can help you with everything. What's another milestone? FRA. What does that mean? Full retirement age for Social Security. So we're going to break this down just a little bit in concept so you can kind of see what yours is and why does it even matter. So for a FERS employee, if you want to retire at the youngest possible age with no reduction in pension and you get to keep your health insurance, keep your life insurance, leave a survivor benefit if you want to, all of those things, you got to be first old enough and you've also got to have the right amount of years of service. Well, let me show you the grid so you can know by your birthday whether or not you are old enough to retire with 30 or more years of service. So if you're a picture taker or you need to take a screenshot of this, holy cow, go ahead and do it so you can know what your MRA is. So if I have 29 years of service and I'm a year away from my MRA, holy perfectness, Batman, I can retire when they both hit at the same time. Does that ever happen? Yeah, but it's very rare. Usually you're going to either get old enough first or have the right years of service first, but then you're waiting for the second thing to happen. So remember, it is a two-sided coin. You got to be old enough and have the right amount of years of service. So most people today, there is no most actually, but check it out. See how old you need to be or what it is based on your birthday so you can start planning. Because let's say you have 20 years of service and you're at your minimum retirement age, you don't have to go to 30 years. Does that make sense? You only need to go all the way to, well, age 60, because at age 60, you only need 20 years of service. But it matters to understand that if you have 30 or more, or if you're gonna around your minimum retirement age, that is when you can actually exit with no reduction. So the opposite of an MRA, or really another big threshold we deal with, is FRA, and that's with Social Security. So a lot of people look at their Social Security statements from SSA.gov, and they say, well, I'm not going to hit my FRA until blah. Well, let's see what your FRA is based on your birthday so you can start planning. You do not have to keep working all the way until your full retirement age in order to turn on Social Security. Remember, Social Security could be turned on at age 62. So let me flip this chart for you and go to the full retirement age so you can check it out based on your own age, or rather your own birthday. The oldest FRA that exists is age 67. And why does it even matter? Why do we care what our FRA is? Well, let's say you're going to keep working. This is the most common and the most preferable. If I'm 66 and a half and I'm at my full retirement age, I could turn on Social Security and receive what they consider the full benefit from the actuarial standpoint of my mortality based on that age, right? Or I could just keep working. Well, if I keep working, what does that mean I could do? It means I can make as much money as I want to at another job and still receive 100% of my Social Security. Why does that matter? I can stash cash like a big dog and then not be affected by it. I don't have a penalty. But if I start taking Social Security while I'm still working before my full retirement age, there's a penalty. There's a cost. They reduce my Social Security benefit by a dollar for every $2 I exceed what they call the earnings test. That's the amount of money you can make at an additional job while receiving Social Security. So after full retirement age, I don't have an earnings test. I can make as much money as I want to and receive it. So if you're working with somebody and they're saying, yeah, I like my job and I'm also liking getting my Social Security, then they are probably past their full retirement age and receiving both their earnings from the job and also Social Security from their contributions to leg two. They're just turning it on while they're working. Well, what if you don't work that long? What if you go ahead and retire at 58 or 60 or 62 or 65 anytime before your full retirement age? Well, you have choices. A lot of my people, if they're not going to be working at another job, probably will go ahead and initiate their Social Security payments, not only because they need them to, you know, replace what their income was, but it's also this idea of bird in the hand is worth two in the So they say, well, I'm going to go ahead and get while the getting's good because I don't know how long I'm going to live. First of all, I don't know my date of expiration. And also, I want to be sure I receive this money while it's there to be had. So you can make your own decision on whether you need to turn on Social Security after separation. And that's a big reason you want to get with me and my team to go over the numbers. Everyone is different. There is no one size fits all Social Security answer. There is no spreadsheet that's going to tell you what's best for you. It helps. It does help. Spreadsheeting the numbers help. But there's also these concepts of, again, I don't know how long I'm going to live. And the idea, you've probably heard of it, the break-even concept. How many years at the bigger number, if I waited, do I have to live to make up for all those years of zero? Because I didn't take any money for, say, 5 years if I waited till 67. So I got to make up for 5 years of nothing. And I hope I live long enough to make up for it. Which, let's not be negative, we probably will. People are living longer. But I know you've all heard the story of somebody who worked and worked and worked and waited and waited and waited and then finally retired and got a couple of payments or maybe none at all. So those are the teeter-totters we approach in considering whether or not to initiate income from Social Security. But FRA, by definition, it's just the way Social Security does the math. They call it your AMI or your essential target based on the mortality rates of people with different birthdays. And they calculate your Social Security based on that age. And then if you turn it on earlier, you get a little less. If you wait a little bit longer, you'll get a little bit more. But that's just how they determine it. And again, the benefit of delaying is especially if you work. Working through delaying Social Security makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. But if you're not working, then it could be considered a bit of a sacrifice to not turn on that Social Security if you're taking from your own finite bucket of money, like TSP or a bank or 401, things like that. But there is no one way to look at it. Everybody's got different situations. Some are married, some are not. Disabling factors are a whole different thing as well. Reach out, get scheduled with us, and we can go over your situation to make sense of your life, for your choices, for you and your family. And we want to do it right the first time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Reyna Retirement. With a strong commitment to ethical standards, Reyna works hard to find the right solution for each individual or family who reaches out for advice. To contact Reyna directly, call 850-450-6500. That's 850-450-6500. Or to reach the team at American Federal Benefits Consultants, call 1-800-872-8857. That's 1-800-872-8857. You can also go online to AmericanFederal.org. Not affiliated with the United States government. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice. These opinions are not intended as investment advice, nor do they predict future performance of any product. All information provided is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation or warranty as to the accuracy of any statement. The information is intended to be educational in nature and does not provide a guarantee or specific result. All copyrights and trademarks are the property of their respective owners. American Federal Benefits Consultants is an independent organization, not a government agency or affiliated with the federal government or any state government. The terms CSRS, FERS, FEGLI, and FEHB are all registered trademarks of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. American Federal Benefits Consultants, agents, consultants, or any independent contractors do not provide tax, legal, or investment advice and do not engage in the solicitation or sale of securities. Consult with your tax advisor or attorney regarding specific situations.